Praise the Lord. Well, first and foremost, we want to thank you for having us. God is good. Amen. Amen. He's faithful. And we are just blessed to be able to serve him. My husband asked me to sing, and so Joe said he was coming, so I asked Joe to sing along with me. And how many of you go through what we call cycles? You know what I'm saying? Cycles. It's like, one day I'm here, one day I'm here. One day I'm here, one day I'm here. One day I'm... And just cycles, right? How many of you are tired of going through those cycles? Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right? Well, we just got to learn to lean and depend on Jesus Christ in every single one of them. Amen? The cycles may come, but we need to stand firm and trust that God is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen? So as we sing this song, Joe and I are going to sing this together. Just listen to the words, and we pray that it ministers to your heart.
Didn't I conquer this last year? Tell me what I missed, 'cause I fear that it's coming back up again. Must be something I ate, some songs, some shows, some hate. Never wants to extend the game. Free throws. And when it ends, he wants to make the sequel. 'Cause if he has another chance, he feels like he can take my song, my fear, my faith. See, the devil, he learns from your mistakes. Even if you don't know. But I'm not going in cycles. I'm not going in cycles. I'm not going in cycles. I'm not going in cycles.
This will end like I want it to. I win. The enemy will have to lose again. See, I'm a different fighter now. And I have got to thank, 'cause his joy is my strength. See, the devil will learn it's a mistake when I am sure that I'm not going in cycles. Cycles. I'm not going in cycles. Cycles. See, I'm gonna break these cycles. Cycles. I'm not going in cycles. Cycles.
See, oh Lord, help me
be free from all of my passion. See, your love is enough to make me new and help me in these cycles. Cycles. Lord, I need you in these
cycles.
I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. I'm not going in. Oh, going in cycles. I refuse it. Oh, I refuse these cycles.
See, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh,
there is power in the name of Jesus
to break every cycle.
To break all these
cycles.
To end all these
cycles.
To break all these
cycles.
See, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Whoa, whoa.
There is power in the name of Jesus
to break all these cycles. To break all these cycles. Generational
cycles.
Financial
cycles.
Whole painful
cycles.
I'm not going through
cycles.
Whole cycles. Cycles.
Praise God. Thank you guys for allowing me to be here. Amen. And coming and being a part of what you guys are doing here. I'm so excited. I just want to say this real quick about the cycles that my wife was talking about. And I know some of you are looking at yourself and you said, you know what, it's 2019 and I feel like I'm going around this bend that I went around in 2018. And we have to have the courage to break what it is that we keep doing. Amen. Some of us, when we can't get out of certain cycles, we don't call them cycles. We just adopt it as a family tradition. But sometimes you got to break those things and break out. Amen. Is there anybody in here who worship causes conflict within your family? Anybody here? Is that you, worship? And is it how you worship or the style you worship or what did they say? Yeah. See, you're one of my markers. God gave me a marker to know I was on the right track, okay? He said there's going to be somebody here who worships controversy to their family. And so the thing about that is because the devil knows his time is short, and usually what is good now has become offensive in the last days. And I was telling our church at home that the Bible says, as such as the time of Noah shall be the end. And if you guys are looking, I did a series on our Wednesday night service about how much paganism has risen. It is rampant in Europe, and it is on the rise in America. Paganism is anything from Wicca to witchcraft to the Illuminati to Freemasons to anything that has levels, whatever. It's just blown up. And it is such as at time as it was back then, it is now. And we must understand that the devil knows his time is short. Now it is your time to break whatever cycle that you think that you're in and to go out. Because God gave me a word while I was sitting there. And I never spoke to it before. But God told me to tell you guys, your bread and butter, your meat and potatoes are between the 20 and 35s. The little kid says, you are to invite as many as you see. And you are to invite them to Sunday morning experience. So he calls them Sunday morning experiences. And the other more mature are going to come. But the thing about it is, it'll get a little bit more indignant, a little bit more freer. But God has told me while I was sitting there. But he says, this is their bread and butter, because there's enough people here to disciple between that age. And so some of you that are here, though, between those 20s and that 35-year-old is going to be meeting potatoes, and says, you might think they're not come, wherever I guess. He says, invite as many as you see. as many as you see to Sunday morning experiences. There's going to come a time where you're going to call, you know, we're not having Sunday morning service, you're having Sunday morning experience. Amen. And then that's going to be what, and that's going to be what those people in that vein will call it. Not only that, but they'll go and they'll go out and say, this is where I experienced God at. This is where I've done that. So that's a word for you, but the word is action. I said, God, I stand. Then he gave me a marker. He said, there's going to be somebody here who says that the worship is controversy within their family. So I asked that first to see if there was one before I released the word to know that, you know, you got to have a confirmation before you give things, I believe. And so I want to make sure that I had a confirmation on that. So that's for you. And I think what's in your mind eye to what this can be, you've missed it a little bit. It'll be better. It'll be better. Okay? So, and this is something weird that God has given me along with that word. Right now, the studious person in you is thinking about preparation. God says, don't prepare. Because you're already there. And he says, it's not going to be a prepared thing to worry about. And you're not going to have to worry. And the reason I'm telling you this, because between the 25 and 35s, they're not worried about amenities or being comfortable. That is so far low. When you get up to my age and older, we're like, well, I've got to have a good seat to sit in because this is rough. But between the 25, they're not worried about amenities. You can have right over here, you can get you a bunch of throw bean bags. They'll be fine. And I'm going to tell you, you do not have to prepare for the influx because you've already been preparing for it. For one cycle, what God is telling me that you've broke free. From whatever it is, you broke free what have bound you as one, but not to him, but to something else. You broke free. And the preparation has been made, amen, for you to go forth. Now, what you do with that, now listen. Now, you can't tell me that you have named this fanning the flame when you want to back up. Amen. When you fan in the flame, that means you're ready for the fire. Amen. You know, and so you got to understand. See, I took an art class, a couple art classes, because I was majoring in art, and I do paintings and sculpting and stuff like this. And I was, you know, I was ready to get a hold of. I was going to make an iron sculpture. You make an iron sculpture. So we had a thing where you forge it, you know, and you put that iron and you put it in some heat. Amen. Iron that boy thing glowing red. Took that out, hit that thing, bam, about broke my hands. My TV, I thought it would be soft. You know, I thought it was bending like butter. So then I put it in there, and what you do, you got this thing where you pump more oxygen to get the flame deeper. You get it wider, get it hotter. You put it in there, and I got that thing, and the hotter I got it, then I was like, bam, bam, bing that thing, sparks were flying. Because you think, why all the heat, why all the sparks? Because my intention was to make something. And so you might think that everything's been turned up. Everybody's trying to tell you that, wait a minute, it's not this, it's not that. Listen, if it ain't now, when is it? Right. When is it? You ain't getting any younger. Amen. If it ain't now, when is it? When are you going to step out? You've been saving everything back for a rainy day. It's been raining all day. Amen? Been raining all day. So you need to step out and let God do what you're doing. Listen, I've seen you guys worship. I've seen you on your knees. Now let him do what he needs to do. Amen. And so what I'm saying is, you've got to have this ridiculous, listen to me, this ridiculous, stupid faith that you step out on. Pastor White calls it stupid faith because it don't make no sense. It doesn't make any sense. That's when you know it's God. Jesus says, come on, come. He said, Peter, going to go on the water. Don't make any sense. And you might say, why do I know it's God? Because you see, his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And if I'm talking to a God that's thinking on the same wavelength I'm thinking, that ain't God. So Peter goes, I'm going to go. He goes, Peter, I'm going to go. He's going to go. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. He said, I'm going to do it. He stepped out there, water. Peter's like, ooh, Peter going to get up there. You know how he boils in the boat? Peter going to sink. things go on. Peter gets out. He started walking. And then when Peter got happy, and they said, "Whoa, look down." Boom, sank. Because the same thing about it is because, why did he sink? Because he leaned back to his own understanding. See, because when Peter got back in the flesh, he looked down. He said, "Water don't carry flesh." Boom. But Jesus says, why did you, and you might say, "Pastor, how do you get that?" Because when Jesus came to him, he said, "Why did you doubt? Doubt what you were already doing." You see, he already took several steps and then he doubted. He said, "Now you don't walk this far from the boat and now you're going to doubt. You've already been having the faith." And he picked him up out of water. And you know what he did? He picked him out of water, put him back on solidified water, and he walked back to get your butt back in the boat. Because, see, you got to understand, a lot of things that you guys are having faith for, you've been doing anyway. Amen. But now, you're just going to do it to a different level. And that's what God's calling you to. And we've been seeing something at the church, different level. We had a young man and his family come up last Sunday. And I'm going to tell you, I got a call from one of my good friends at the church. He recently got married, and his wife's son was up in Riley Hospital, and he says he got pneumonia. They don't know what's going on with him. His lungs are filling up and everything. And they had him on this bed to have this padding around. And I ain't lying. I'm telling you right now, boy looked like a rotisserie chicken. It's all his belly. And they would rotate it so the fluid would come out of his lungs. And I said, "Ooh," I said, "I wouldn't even pay to ride out of Disneyland." But he was on that just. Then they said so they did a procedure that drained his lungs, and they put a port in, and they put him back. Everything went great. He started coughing, and his lungs started filling up again. And they found out that he had a rare kind of blood disease. Young man, 17 years old. He calls me. He says, "Pastor," he says, because I saw him on a Wednesday night. He says, "Well, we should be bringing Devin home Thursday." I said, "Praise God." So I get a call. He said, "Pastor, doesn't look good." He told me what I just told you. Because he took a turn for the worse. He said his heart stopped three times. I said, he went without his heart beating for 13 minutes. He said they got him in the critical care unit and said, "Don't look good, Pastor." And I said, "Man, I'm so sorry." He said, "They're preparing us." They said, "If he does make it through the night," he said, "we have major brain damage. So they're preparing us and everything else." I said, "Man, I'm sorry." I said, "What do you need me to do? What do you need? He said, just pray." So my wife called up Dennis and said, "Don't look good with praying." So you know, sometimes you have in situation you just need some victories in your life every now and then, you know what I mean? To a little pep in your step to go further. So I said, you know, the next day came, I told my wife, I said, he hadn't called me yet. And I said, it seemed like a bad sign. Went later on in the day, and then he finally called me, and he said, so I went in there was no movement all night, and they're talking to us about brain damage and what we have to do. He said, so I was sitting there, and I let my wife, his mom let my wife go and get some rest and in the other room, and she's been up there for like 40 days, over a month, and hadn't left him. And he goes, we're just sitting there, and I seen his hand move, and his eyes open. And he's telling me, you know, he may have severe brain damage and stuff like this. And he goes, he started making a sound, but he was intubated, so he couldn't talk. So he pointed, and he started writing. And he says, he's doing good. He's up writing now. And I said, what? He said, yeah, he's still up. And he said, right, he wrote, "Where's Mom?" And this past Sunday, he was in church on our platform giving their testimony. And she said, you don't know what it's like to see grown men on top of your baby pounding his chest to try to make his heart work. And I tell you this because he will do that for any of us. And I'm trying to tell you this. If your expiration date is not met, there's nothing the devil can do to take you before that date. Now let me tell you, and I told our congregation, and I'll tell you this. Everyone dies for the same reason. Everyone. I don't care if a heart attack, cancer, you get hit by the car. Everyone dies for the same reason. You might say, Pastor, what do you mean? There's people who after heart attack who lives. There's people who have cancer who live for a long period of time. But the only reason why people die is because your spirit leaves your body. Now, it might be the cancer or the heart attack that opens that gate, but as long as your spirit's in your body, you are alive and well. You might say, Pastor, how can you say it? Look back in Genesis, it says he took dirt and he made it, and the man wasn't alive till he breathed life into him, and he became a living soul. So I'm here to tell you that's the only reason. Until he steps out and says, that's it, I'm done, you are still on the play field. You are still on the play field. I don't care if you're 99, if you're 9. God wants to do something in your life if you will open up to him. So we're talking about fanning the flames. And I was talking to a pastor. Good thing I talked to him again, because the first time I talked to him and he asked me, he told me 7:30. I think he wanted me to see everybody leave. I was like, where about? I ain't even preached yet. Where about going? Because I asked him, he said, Wade, I said, so what time is this again? He said, 6. I was like, yeah, I had to tell Wade, too. I had a timer. I'm like, good thing I asked. Because I'll be mad because y'all been mad. Y'all been waiting on me and nothing I can preach. Y'all been mad at me. but I was thinking how I was going to approach this. And I want to approach it from the purpose of the flame in you. The purpose of the flame in you. And I want to start out, if I may, in the book of Psalms 53. Psalms 53, and I'm going to read verse 2 and all the way down to 2 and 3. Okay? And it says this. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Now I'm looking at this and I'm seeing that God is up and looking down because the people have deserted certain things, like, you know, right now people are deserting sound doctrine. You know where the Bible says there'll be a falling away? You know, there's a falling away, and the church is full, and they're falling away from sound doctrine. And I could go and tell you about how the churches are going away from biblically correct teaching to basically what is mostly popular today. And even though the Bible clearly says what to do and what not to do, you have people stepping out saying, well, I want to be liked, and I think, you know, God's wrong on this point. But I'm trying to tell you, but the remnant are those who stick to the word. Yeah. Amen. Don't worry about so much offending people, because they will come around. But if you're worried about offending people, then you lose anointing. See, anointing does not come unto full effect unless you are preaching the word. And if you have changed the word for a social gospel, there is no anointing. You just getting hand praises because you're telling somebody or you're co-signing somebody's sin. Amen. So I'm trying to tell you, you know, we have in our congregation, we have people who come who are maybe in same-sex relationship stuff. I sit down and tell them, I said, look, I ain't celebrating that. I don't care about that. This is what I know what the Bible says. You got to come so you can hear the truth. And we're cool. Because I'm going to tell you guys, now listen to me. There's not going to be any change unless you have access to the word. Amen. So let that person bring their son or their daughter in that's struggling. Because when they hear the word, it says, you know, that is what sets them free. So unless you put them under a word that sets them free, then we'll get free. Now listen, y'all need to quit being so upset when some of these brothers and sisters that are that are wrong on this issue, saying, well, I was born this way. Don't bother me a bit. People say, I was born that way. Don't bother me a bit. Because the Bible says we're all born into sin. Just depending on whatever sin it is. Whether it's that, or whether you were born and you was angry the first time the doctor smacked you on your booty. Amen. Most of you born, I said, my mama told me that I was born on time. That means we made payments on me. Yep. She got me when I went home, she got a bill. Amen. So we gotta understand, don't get caught up in those endless stupid debates, because it comes back to Jesus. And even the Bible says, do not get caught up in endless genealogies and all this other stuff that confuses. Do not get caught up in things that make more questions but don't have answers. I had a debate with a minister about even the abortion issue, which we need to talk, because there's so many women that are struggling and they need to know that they're forgiven. Because I see them as victims as much as the children. Because when people tell you, well, we're going to leave that up between a woman and her doctor, that's a lie, because a doctor in abortion clinic never counsels the woman. She never talks to him. He comes in, does his procedure. She talks to the nurse, or she talks to the receptionist. They do not have a conversation with the doctor. So that's a lie. Has a woman on record who actually ran a clinic until she goes, we don't have conversations with them about it. Yeah, but they must know that there's freedom in the house of the Lord. And God's never lost a child. But you got to stand up and you got to tell them. Someone came to me, and they always tried to do this. I looked up the statistics in 2017. 640,000 babies were aborted. Okay? Those that were, mother was in close to death and they had to, or rape, were was less than 1%. It's multi-abortion on demand. And someone got me and they said, well, so what are you trying to say? That someone is raped my kid? I said, so you're a string, you say that? I said, dude, yeah. And he goes, what do you mean? So I sent him a picture of my friend. I said, she changed my mind. I said, her mom was date raped and she's the kid. She's a radio personality. She works. She does great. And guess what? She's a Christian. I know several. So you ever had a conversation with these individuals who, according to you, shouldn't be there? And then this one girl I was telling her, I said, look, I said, even you started out this way. As she goes, well, they're just a bunch of cells. I said, if I put you in a microscope, you're a bunch of cells now. So I'm saying, until we get it right, and not be ashamed of what you stand up, sure, they're going to say crazy things to you. Well, I just can't believe you like it. Well, believe it. See, that's where the power and the authority, because sometimes when you speak, there are people waiting in the wings that are getting witnessed to. And you might not get that one that confronts you, but you may get the six that came around. You know, if you don't believe me, ask Nicodemus. Left him by night, sneaked out, put his rubber shoes on, sneaking to Jesus. He's like, ah, Jesus, he said, you know, I was hearing about that little born again stuff. How do you get born again? First, Jesus got to let him have it, because they take pride in their calling. They take pride in their position. He said, aren't you a teacher of all these people and you don't even know how to get born again? He said, yeah, but. Am I supposed to get in my mama's womb a second time? He goes, there you go. That's the problem with all the Sadducees and Pharisees. Y'all can't stop thinking about flesh. I don't need your flesh to be born again. I need who you really are to be born again. So God, in the scripture I gave you, God is looking down to see if there is any who understand. who seek God. See, the thing about it is, do you have an understanding about seeking God? Because he's looking. Do you understand that there's a way in which you seek him? See, listen, if y'all when y'all play how to go seek, if you sought your kids who are hiding the way you sought God, they'd be missing children everywhere. You would be drawing your own kid on milk bottles. He looked like this. Last I saw him last summer, I said, "Junior, go hide." And I was like, ain't seen him since. Because if you sought them the way you sought God, boy, half the population be like, Mrs. Like, well, mommy ain't never came. By the time Junior grew up and his pants all high waters, when he come, you find getting. Because the thing, there's a way to seek God. And seeking God, listen to me, is intentional. You don't accidentally skip up and seek God. You have to have a mindset to step out and to look and to reach to him. So I'm trying to tell you, make your seeking personal. You might say, Pastor, how can I make my seeking personal when I don't know what I seek? Good question. Thank you, Rich. I thought about that on the way up here. I was going to ask you that. What we seek from God can be different from different people. Because that's why he says, I am the great I am. I am what you need me to be when you need me to be. He might be a healer, what you are seeking. He might be a provider, is what you're seeking. He might be your banner that you put up, what you're seeking. And you know what? He is all those things. And when he says healer, he goes, oh, I am. Lawyer, I am. Hey, financial guy, hey, I am. So the thing about it is, be more intentional about seeking him for what it is that you want. So this flame that burns in you, listen, was not made by you. It was put in you by him. So that's why there's a pull in you. Because it's almost like a magnet pulling towards metal. There's a pull in you towards him. And the devil wants to put something between you and that magnet so you don't click with him. That's why the devil always wants to put middleman. Put other family, other beliefs, so you get further and further away so that that yearning doesn't like. But the further and further you get away, there's this dissatisfaction that sets in. Because dissatisfaction comes in there when that connecting's gone. And you're like, why do I feel dissatisfied as a Christian? Because I'm not connecting with what I need to connect with. Let me tell you this. You know what? It's a sad day when a vacuum cleaner's dissatisfied. Ain't no sucking going on. You know why? Because it's disconnected from the power. That, listen, when that vacuum cleaner is disconnected from the power, it no longer has any purpose because the power is what makes it do what it was created to do. And that was to clean up, to suck up things. But when there's a gap between the plug and the wall, then it might as well be a paperweight because it cannot do it. And not only is it dissatisfied, you are dissatisfied with it because you know why? Because you paid a price for the vacuum cleaner. Now listen, Jesus has paid a price. And you're disconnected and the dissatisfaction that you feel, he said, look, Jesus never died on the cross and said, okay, I died, your sins are forgiven, everybody stay home. It's okay, stay home, watch the minister on the TV. Don't come together. People get on me because I posted, I said, if you are a Christian, no one should ever have to beg you to come to church. Amen. You know? Bro, I got hit like that. You ain't got to be a Christian to go to church. No, but to be a good one. Just saying. That's like saying this. Batteries don't have to have power to get put in the remote control. But the ones with the power work. You know? So they were saying that. I said, so I'm trying to tell you. And they tried to debate you. In fact, I said, look, I know I'm a pastor. I know you think I'm saying this for my own gain. But listen, I didn't invent the church. He did. This is all his idea for us to come together. It's all his idea. It's not mine. It's not the organization's. So if you're mad, get mad with him. But he says we need to come together and assemble. You know why? Because y'all get freaky when you're on your own. Oh, Jesus, y'all get freaky when y'all on your own. Crazy ideas start coming up. Amen. You start doing something and like it, and you're like, you know what, Betty? I don't think it's really that bad to do. Don't you remember what the preacher said? Oh, hogwash. I'm saved too. Then you start slipping in your walk. Pretty soon you ain't walking at all. You just laying there. Then you become that wicked servant who hid his talent. Said, all I got to do, I'm sitting my lazy boy and watch John Hagee to Jesus come. Amen? Just come and say, Jesus, I'm watching John Hagee. You here. I didn't mess up a bit. He said, you wicked little. You could at least put it in the bank and draw some interest. He says, you talk about loving me and I love our people. You did not even duplicate yourself. You wicked, greedy individual. You're like, well, I guess I could have went out once a week. Yeah, you could have. Maybe if the church has a special like Denny's, maybe y'all come in more. I'm partial to banking myself, but that's just me. Just me. But I'm saying we have to understand if we're going to fan these flames, it has to be intentional. But listen, I've been in situations in pastors where they get a little itchy when things start moving, and what they want to do is they want to lower the flame until the cold people catch up. I was under pastor for about 3 or 4 years. Said that to me. I looked at him, and I wasn't even a seasoned Mitch. I looked at him. I said, that's the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. I was respectful. I didn't say it. You know, I didn't say it to him. I didn't. I said it to my wife. She had to listen to it. That's what you do. Guys, that's what you do when you're married. My baby going to have to hear it because And so I would say, since when does turning down the flames make anything else hot? I said, Pastor, the people are willing to hear whatever you want to teach him. Yeah, but we got some new people. We want them to get to me. I said, brother, you false. Yeah, I said, if you fan the flames, fire spreads. Right. Yep. Let those who are hot just spill over on those who are cold. See, because I know that because I'm a barbecue guy. I know if you put some hot coals next to a cold coal, pretty soon the cold coal becomes a hot coal. So I'm saying you have to do this. So maybe some of your family ain't on the same page, sister. Don't turn it down. Turn it up. Yeah. You hear me? Turn your praise up. Turn your worship up. Do what you're going to do. Because pretty soon it will spread. Listen, I was the only saved individual in my immediate family. One day, I used to go out and party. One day, I told Mom. I said, Mom, I go out to Indianapolis. I got saved. I'm going to go get baptized. I'm like, okay. Mom's calling people. What's wrong with him? Thought I was in some kind of demonic cult because I was, you know. No, but once the Holy Ghost hit you, but you're on it. Yeah. Woke up, everything looked different. Came home and everything, and came home, asked my sister. She was in there in the kitchen, chopping up something. I said, I came along, you know, she's up there, she's chopping up something. So she knew I got saved, you know, I was a Christian. I came to her, she goes, yeah. I said, hey, Chris, you want to get saved? She goes, well, not right now, I'm cooking. But maybe later on. I said, okay. I was asking people. And then I went to my family reunion. I didn't know we had family reunion. Go down to Kentucky, had a bunch of people family reunion. Didn't know my family called up. And she said, my sister's name's Christian. She goes, Christian, heard Richie going to church now. I said, yeah. She said, so when he comes down, what are you going to do? She goes, well, nothing. She goes, well, we want to make sure. No, it's like I was a saved terrorist or something. We want to be sure. It's okay. So I go down there. You know, me, I'm so glad that God blessed pork because I was eating a rib that day. Yes, I was. Eating a rib. And then I happened to look up, and the guys over at the spades table playing spades, I looked up, and everybody's like looking at me like. I'm looking up, I'm like. And you know, when you wave at everybody, you know, because, you know, I grew up where every one of my uncles had a cooler in the back of the car. You know, had the beer, had the cooler. I mean, and I have family reunions where there's like 16 coolers. And they are tell you, now they're the kids' cooler right there. Kids, don't touch any of these big coolers. But all the juices and all the pops right here. You know, everybody had those coolers. So you know, and the parents, every time a kid went to the cooler, parents were like, Well, get that's the wrong color. Oh, okay. You know, so I, you know, everybody. So I had the opportunity. When I did, I had the opportunity to lead my sister to the Lord. Had an opportunity to lead my mother to the Lord, who has passed away several years ago. She used to greet everybody who came to the door at her church. I am the only full-time pastor my father has ever known. And I witnessed to my brother-in-law, which he was a police officer at the time, and I didn't like the police, but I witnessed to him anyway. And he has said, in turn, he witnessed to some of his guys on the police station. And I became a chaplain for the police department. And how God just moves. I can tell you just miraculous things that God has done in the ministry and through the ministry. When we first started planning stuff, we had short-term goals and long-term goals. We had to keep making long-term goals because our long-term goals started getting short-term. Was intentional. Started up, other people at churches were making fun of us. Just started with was just me, my wife, my sister and brother-in-law, my mom, and one of my best friends who was a single mother. Now when I tell you for 3 or 4 years, I had to pay to preach. I didn't get paid to preach. I had to pay. We lived off of our tithes, the church provided off our tithes and stuff. I had to go. When we did church, had to do 2 weeks ahead. So when we had church, I had to tell people, now we're going to be on 2nd Street next week. Because we rent things. It was a Holiday Inn that was there at the time. Where if you're from there, I just call it Bootleg Central. But it was Holiday Inn. I called. I said, dude, you got a conference room. He said, yeah, we got a conference room. I said, I want to rent that conference room because, you know, we're starting a church. We just having study, how about, you know, several people come out. He goes, oh, yeah. I said, how many chairs you got? He goes, we got about 20, 25 chairs. Put them all up. Come out. Went up there. He goes, this in room such a, it was, what it was, a conference room was a room without a bed in it. Room without a bed in it. Had some plastic chairs. We set those babies up. Thus says the Lord. Amen. Matter of fact, this was my first podium when I preached. My sound system was my mama's boom box. And our words was one of those acetates where you flip it. She's like, move on. And my wife was sleeping. She goes, I flipped the page over. And we just did what thus says the Lord. Because, you know, when you start with that, is that we had more faith than money, more faith than sense. And that's what moved God. And you can do that today if you would just fan the flames that are in you. See, you know, like one minister said, I pray that revival doesn't start here. I pray revival starts in your chest. It starts in your mind and your spirit because that is sustainable revival. Amen. There's a difference between joy and happiness. You want joy. Happiness is the root word of happenings. There got to be something happening for you to be happy. Once the happening is over, guess what? You back to you. But joy is unspeakable. Joy comes and just takes a hold of you. And you sit in the front row looking silly, ain't nothing going on. You're like, Betty, what's wrong with you? Jesus, just good. Betty, drink it again. On the new wine. Because you got that joy. Amen. Now, joy doesn't mean things ain't going on in your life. Joy means that you understand when things do happen in your life, they ain't happen to you by yourself. We look like, Jesus, I got this mountain to climb. When you know Jesus, he goes, here's some climbing shoes. Get on. I'm with you. You don't have to do it by yourself. But let me take you to another scripture. My wife always says, you got more scriptures than what you use. I said, I'd rather have more than less. And let me take you to, let me see, what I want to take you to. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And I'll go down to verse 13, from 11 to 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let me stop there. You know, I was wondering, I was looking at this. Why does God have to say, look, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Well, see, this happens towards a part because he goes, I don't care what the prophets told you. Do you know some prophecy is just Christian manipulation? Some people just like to read your mail instead of deliver it from God to you. So he says, I don't care what they've been telling you. I don't care what they've been doing. You see, I don't care who, when I have set you free and other people try to put you in bondage. I don't care what you said. And he says, for on my word, trust my word. And he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. So a lot of times I think a lot of Christians and a lot of people think, well, God's this big guy that's up there, like that was painted on the 16th chapter. He's this big guy with a big white beard, but he got big muscles. And he's there just to say, I got you. You messed up. You sinned. I got you. You sinned. I got you. That's the furthest thing from the way God is. When you sin, God says, I'll restore you. I'll restore you. I'll restore you. I'll restore you. He knows the thoughts he has towards you. Now listen. And what are those thoughts, God? The Lord says those thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you a future and a hope. Now see, when you fall into sin and you have a problem, you think, I let God down. We all know that saying, it's impossible to let God down because you can't hold him up anyway. So how you going to put, you're like, Rich, what you doing? I'm holding up God. Well, I'm sure I'm hungry. God, I'm going to put you down for a bit. I'm going to give you some fries and I'll get you back up. You going to be mad? You can't hold him up anyway. He's not relying on you to hold his promises up. He holds his promises up. Amen? So you're doing this and he says, I know. I want you to have a hope and I want you to have a future. Even when you are steeped in sin, he's trying to give you a future in him. He's not there to say, boy, I put that in the Bible. That tripped you up right there then. That messed you up right there. Woo, got that right there. The Bible's not an obstacle course. It's a map to get you set free. It's not an obstacle course. And so you look at this and he says in verse 12, says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. I love this. And he says, and I'll listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now listen. I like this when it says, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart and all stuff like this. Because what he's saying is, you've got to make up your mind. When you search me with a made up mind, you will find me. See, when you come through the doors, are you coming through the doors expecting from God? Or are you coming from the doors, I want to see what Betty got on today. Yeah, last week she had one stocking right here, one up here, and she ain't got no friends. They would have told her. Had to come out looking like that. Amen. See, but you got to say, you know, I'm coming expecting an encounter. I'm coming expecting. See, and when you come expecting, you will get an experience. And you will never be disappointed when you come expecting. Listen, I can go into some place where I don't like the music. I may not even get it, but I can get in. I can get into worship because I understand worship. I don't care what style of worship you do, but because I understand who you're worshiping, I'll get in. Listen, you know, I don't know how they play the banjo so fast, but I tell you what, you can do some bluegrass. I'm like. Now, I may go, now everybody else might be doing this, but I'm like, Because he's too good. Amen. Because, see, the style of worship is indicative of us, but who we worship is indicative of him. And God likes it. God is a Skittle kind of God. He likes all the colors underneath the rainbow. Every flavor. So when people say, well, I don't really like it, I said, don't worry about liking it. I said, but do you like him? You better get in. Some of you older folks, I know it's rough. He may be rapping, but catch a beat on a downbeat sometimes. Like, he's good. Catch it. You might be going, well, I don't even know what you're doing. You might say, if all you got to do is put your mind, I'm fanning the flames. I'm just fanning the flames. That's what I'm doing. Fanning the flames. Because you got to know, because it is all about souls. Okay, now I'm going to tell you this. For anybody, you know, I got a kind of weird strategy for ministers that come to our church, okay? And those that are wanting to be in the ministry. Now, it sounds discouraging, but it's not. I said, dude, you really don't want to do this. Sister, you don't want to have no part of this, really. Because I tell you, in these latter days, you don't want to do this unless you call. Amen. Amen. I don't care what you see on TV. Pastors ain't getting rich. Amen. The ones that are rich on TV is because of their books, their businesses and stuff. Church ain't paying that much money. Bishop Jakes is multimillionaire because of all his businesses. The dude's a genius. If you ever heard him in an interview and talk, he's just a genius. And that's where, you know, and some of them quit taking money from the church. Like Rick Warren, he hasn't taken a salary from the church ever since he wore a rope, purpose-driven life, whatever, I guess. And he paid back everything they have ever paid him, so he's been doing free ever since. But the 96 or 97% of the churches are under 200 or 500 people, or under. And the thing about it is, what I tell them is, pastoring is more than just what I'm doing here right now. And you don't want to do it. Unless you're called. That's why you can't quit, because you're called. I've sat in my chair and tried to figure out another job for me. And I'm like, Lord, I really can't do anything better. My legs are shot. Yeah, see? You ought to be a pastor. I mean, you hear things and you sing things. You see things. You fight spirits. You fight the devil. Not just the devil that you have. See, you know what? I had a thing that was laid on me. And let me tell you about Pastor Hart, so why you should really have some compassion on your pastor. I was there. I was like, man, I'm in this funk. I told my wife, I don't even know why I am so depressed for no reason. So depressed for no reason. So the week, because I mean, it was so heavy. It was terrible. It was terrible. It was the worst I've ever experienced. I go to church, I was like, well, you know, it's like, Lord, I said, you know, if there's anybody, you know, in a service that's going through like I'm going through, that's having with depression, I didn't even get through, I mean, this was an altar call before I was this service. I didn't even get through all the call. There were six deep at the altar. And as soon as the last one came to the altar, depression left me. And it says, it wasn't for you, it was for the sheep you pastored. That's why the depression didn't make any sense to me, because it wasn't mine. It was the flock's. And before I got, I mean, I'm lying. It was six deep at the altar from one end to the other. People just crying. People who were just visiting that day because they needed a word. And as soon as they came up and I did this and I turned around, I was like, look at all these people. Boom, left. So sometimes some things that you feel may not be for you, it may be for who you need to minister to. But you can keep it if that's what you want to, but God didn't show you or laid it on you for you to keep it. Have you been all right? I came out of there. Oh, no, I can't go there more. I came out of there and I felt worse than I came in. Well, you were probably carrying the burden of the person you sit next to, but instead of praying for them and seeking God, you took what you were supposed to leave at the altar. You took it home. And God's not calling you to do that. Amen. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be set free on so many levels that you cannot even imagine how your heart will open up and how it will be filled. You know, God wants you to understand your dreams, but your dreams are too full of you. Because listen, when you take, that's what God says, you know, if you put like, you know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Do you know another way that's put? I want you to really, really think about it. When the sun goes down on your wrath and you don't, you think, because God wants me to get along with everybody. I told my wife before we got married, I said, you know what? If we happen to go to bed mad, I'm sleeping in my bed. Ain't no sleeping on the couch here. I'm on my bed. Now, we can sleep close to each other mad. But I ain't getting out to bed. Ain't slept out of my bed yet. But I'm just saying, now think about this. The reason why he doesn't want the sun to go down on your wrath, because your wrath will consume you, and maybe he wanted to speak to you that night. Maybe he wanted to minister to you in your dreams. Maybe there was a prophetic word that was supposed to come. But now your mind's all in that wrath, and you've carried that through the evening. Now God can't speak to you. He might have been calling your name where you should have been saying, yes, Lord, I want to show you something. But you're like, oh, she get on my nerves, something bad. If she would just leave my stuff while I leave it so I can find it. Brother, you going to come up to the altar when we have all the callers. Come on up. You come on up. Come on up. What's going on? Oh, I feel so good. That's usually my wife hitting me. You know, and she's saying, he's so stubborn. He's such a bullheaded, you know. And she's like, yeah. And then what makes a wife more mad? When you go to bed mad and she's still fussing and she hears. Now what she hears is, you don't love me. And so why I don't love you? Because I didn't lose no sleep. I told you I was tired. Tired. But see, but those things actually stop us. You know, there's a lot of mundane things that stop and block the railway from what God wants to do in you. See, now, when you have faith, you say, God, you're going to work it out. And he says, God, okay, I'm ready. Speak. What you going to do? Speak. And see, you want to think that that's for those who are in a prophet's position, but it's not. God wants to commune with you. He wants you to meditate on him. He wants to take up residence in your life. Now listen, now a prophet is usually someone who gives words to the masses, but you who are Christian can give word to your neighbor. There's a lot of words going on in the Bible. The Bible would have been nitpick if it pointed like, well, Johnny gave the farmer a word, the farmer gave the fisherman a word. You know, it's not that. It's just like you are giving away Jesus, because the Bible says in, I think it is John 1, the 14th verse, it says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if I want to talk about the gospel, I got to give the word away. And to give that word away is like a seed that you grow into somebody else. But like I said, God is looking to see if anyone understands. And God is telling you, I know the thoughts that I have for you. I don't care what people say. Ain't nothing going to happen. Jesus don't love you because I messed up so many times. And God says, I don't care when you have an attention tantrum. I'm sorry. A tantrum about what you do. I know that I love you. You know, when nowadays we got this thing where if you disagree with someone, you hate them. I be telling people, I grow up. I love you. Don't love what you do, but I love you. And so anybody who, you know, if it's on the abortion issue or the homosexual issue, they think, well, you so judgmental, you hate. When people use the word judgmental, that means that's a code word that they get you to shut up. That's what it means. When people say you judgmental, I said, dude, you have no idea what a judge is. You know, where I come from, because young kids get these tattoos. Only God can judge me. You've seen those people's tattoos? Only God can judge me. I said, dude, you're 100% totally right. Don't that bother you? Don't that freak you out? You're exactly right. And so what they do, they say, why are you judging? I mean, because I got, you know, there's a lot of drug activity, whatever, so they have it only God can judge me, only God, and they have it on the walls, I guess. And I put one guy and said, dude, it is exactly right. And he's going to judge you, and you ain't got a clue about what his word says and what you, and then you're going to be in a walking testimony, come up before God, you can get judged. You're going to say, Jesus, I tried. He says, look, he goes, read your chest. Only God can judge me. That's what I'm doing. And I told him, I said, that is a scary thing. Because it is a scary thing to make the creator of the universe your enemy. It is a scary thing. Because the thing about it is we've lost our awe of God. And we lost this. And this is something I want to show you in John 16, starting at the 13th verse, going down to the 15th verse. Direct quote from Jesus. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what? All truths. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. I like this. When, if you don't know what's coming, he ain't speaking to you. Oh, y'all gonna mess me up. Okay, listen. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to what? To you. You don't understand what's going on with Jesus? Talk to him. One of his major functions of the Holy Spirit is to declare. Declare means to reveal. You should be getting some revelation. Listen, you should have more revelation in 2019 than you had in 2018. So there's two things if you're not. You miss too much church. You just ain't listening. Amen. Are you laying down on God? You should have more revelation. That means God has revealed more things to you. Now, if you want to have a pastor who's on TV, you might like it, because how you going to know how are they going to rebuke you when you're wrong? How are you going to know their character? They're wrong. And I, picture if I said his name, you all would know him, a real respected person. My youth pastor was underneath him. He went to his church, learned all this stuff from New York, was a straight up bully. And all his leaders he would take out drinking and smoking big cigars. My youth leader got chastised because he's like, well, I don't understand. But how are you going to know the character of the shepherd you under when he's on the flat screen only? Amen. How is that shepherd going to snatch you when the wolves come with that shepherd's hook when he's just on your television? And don't get me wrong, you know, I've had broadcasts, you know, I've been on TV. I said, now you can send an offering to me, but you don't send your tithes to me. You see what I'm saying? Because you send tithes so there's going to be grain in the storehouse. So now you got all this grain in the storehouse down in Southern California, but over here in Indiana there ain't no grain because you sent all your seed. Amen? The other problem is, instead of planting your seeds, y'all eat your seeds. You know, a seed that you eat, you can't plant. It's like this. If you only have a couple of chickens, you got to make up your mind. Am I eating eggs tonight? And for the next so many nights, or am I eating chicken? You can get your two chicken dinners and you're done. But if I let those chickens keep laying eggs, and they're the source of laying eggs, then I want to feed my family through the winter. I'm going to feed them through the summer. But if you eat your seed, that you plant, that brings up stocks of more and more and plentiful to feed others. See, the problem is you think about just you, but God wants you to plant to feed others. Amen. And see, and fear stops people from tithing. And fear is not of God. Amen. It's just not of God. So the problem about it, when you eat your seed, there ain't no flame to fan. Because especially there ain't no flame when you done used all your wood up. If you want to keep a flame, you keep planting trees. See, what I'm saying is, we are killing ourselves in the church. And we're giving the devil the praise. That daggone devil. The devil wish he was as powerful as you think he is. He does. The devil's not powerful at all. He freaks you out. Listen, there's two things why you think the devil's powerful. This is a freebie. Every now and then I give people freebies that's off my subject. Make you go, If it don't make you go home, I'll tell it again. See, we give the devil too much power, and he doesn't have that much power. Not at all. The Bible says he doesn't have any. He says he has the power of lying to deceive you. Now let me tell you why sound doctrine is so important and why there's a great fall in the way. It goes back to Genesis. Remember how I quoted to you in the first chapter of John 14, where it says, you know, word became flesh and dwelt among us, and his only begotten son, whatever. And then so you look at that, you go back to Genesis. You go back to Genesis where the serpent was on the tree. So I view it like Eve at the mall. She's trying to get some fruit. She, there's that tree. Amen. Serpent's like, shh. He said, don't you wanna try this? No. For God said we should not eat of this tree, so we should surely die. See, you missed it because Eve gave the serpent something before the serpent gave Eve anything. What did Eve give the serpent? The word. The word of God. She says, God said, that we should not eat of this tree because we would surely die. She gave the serpent the word. She gave the serpent doctrine. The serpent took the doctrine, twisted it, and gave it back to her. And it says, but oh, you shall not surely die. You should be like him. See what twisted doctrine does? Because of twisted doctrine, man fell. That's why sound doctrine is important. Because of twisted doctrine, man fell. She took of the fruit, right? Now, what did she do after she took the twisted doctrine? She witnessed. She said, here, she took the twisted doctrine. She said, here, Adam, eat. She spread the corrupt word that was given to her by the serpent, and then it affected all church. Then man fell. So when you encounter anybody who said, that ain't what God really meant, don't let them twist your doctrine. Because when you repeat that, other people fall. So, and listen, and paganism, anything that has levels to it is paganism, Scientology. I don't want to offend anybody. Freemason, big, 33 levels. Yep. Everybody loves all the babies. We like Shriners Hospital, a higher form of a Mason. Right. That's why they have that Islamic symbol on those little red fezzes with the sickle and the star. Because the fezzes in their own, if they go to their own library and you read them, it will say the fezzes that they wear are usually white, but when they went out, they would kill Christians, dip the hats in the blood, and the crimson fezzes are to symbolize the death of Christians. Well, why do they do hospitals? So many people started leaving the Freemasonry because of the crimes they committed that they started doing charitable acts to look more authentic. They did a whole documentary on this on the Learning Channel, CBS, whatever that is. And if you want to be one, you got to ask one, right? Because the devil can't do anything unless you receive. So you have to ask and be open. The Bible says, do not give the devil a foothold. You have to ask to be open, to be not taught, but indoctrinated. The higher you go up. There's one down the street from a church. I went there and took a tour. There's an altar. Strange altar. You have to violate so many scriptures just to get in the door. They get in the door, you knock on the door. I seek the light of the celestial lodge. They believe everybody who's not a member is in darkness. Again, if it's secret, the Bible says, would you hide your light underneath a bushel? Then you take an oath. They put a noose around your neck. You take an oath. And they put a dagger at your heart and says, if I speak anything, may dogs lick up my innards and may I be dead. It's easier to get saved. Then you go and you kneel at an altar. The Bible says, do not kneel to any strange altars. Then you say, Grand Most Royal Master, I seek your light. Then they have you lay in a chalk outline, like a dead person, to identify with that. And then you go to certain levels. And the more levels you go up, the less Christian it gets. So they'll have a Bible on the altar. But in Utah, they got a Book of Mormon on the altar. You can talk about God, but not Jesus. Because you don't know that they talk about God, but you don't know the God they're talking about. And it's called the Ultimate Fraternity. And I go on and on because I did all this. But what I want to tell you, when you fan the flames, there are going to be some people running out because their tail's on fire. Because the word will either draw or repel. You see what I'm saying? So that's okay. If someone you like leaves, consider yourself being liberated of them. Amen. And it doesn't mean that somebody goes to someplace else. It doesn't mean that they're bad people. You just want people who are supposed to be here for what you're doing. Amen. Amen. And see, the thing about it is, see, where I come from, Higher Praise Worship Center, we ain't for everybody. We're just for who's supposed to be here. And I would rather have you being with the pastor across town if that's where you're supposed to be, because if you ain't feeling our swagger, we're going 100% forward. And see, we got to do this on a day-to-day basis. See, I got too many giants to kick down, too many doors to open. I got too many things for you to say, for have somebody who's not on with the game plan, who's not supposed to be there going, well, I don't know. You go, the Bible says, everywhere my foot trod, God belongs to me. So then, don't get it mixed up with covenant, because some of y'all be walking around my car thinking it belongs to you. That ain't it. Jesus didn't tell you that. I seen some brothers, I had to correct them. They was at a dealership, at a BMW dealership. And he's like, thank you, Jesus. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Oh, I'm claiming this. I thought busting out laughing. Jesus ain't hearing that prayer. He says, why? It don't belong to you. It says thou should not covet. What you need to do is pray, God, give me a job that pays me enough an hour so I can buy this. Amen. But we do stuff, and you have to worry about being treated, because the word is enough. I said we started our ministry on me doing opposite of everything I learned. Yeah. This ain't popular, but I never try to be popular. I served underneath some jokers. It's pastors. They didn't have the green hair, but some of them wore lipstick. Jokers. Oh, for a while, like Pastor was saying, I'm about to wrap it up, but Pastor was saying, I determined when I was associate minister, I didn't even want to do this. I went to a meeting of a bunch of ministers. Dude, I was a young minister. I was hyped. Man, I'm going to be in a meeting, but the minute God. Boy, there's going to be some conjuring or some manifestations up in here. Sat down. About to talking, and they were talking about, I said, we're gonna get some men, some men of God. We're gonna take the city. Men and came in, and then another young Pentecostal pastor came in, and we were sitting, and they were saying, I said, well, what we want to do? And then it got down to the brass tacks. Well, we're not going to have an outreach ministry if you do an altar call. You know, me being in junior rooms, so I didn't say anything. I'm looking like, oh my God. And someone says, well, unless you put a pool of water right there, you baptize them right there, We're not going to participate either. I'm like, I'm thinking, isn't Jesus Savior? Do you save people get baptized? Or do baptism save people? And I'm like, all these degrees and all these things. And it kept going on and on, and it got just so disheartening. So I rode back with the pastor I was sitting underneath at the time. And I said, I don't know if I want any of this. So being a senior pastor was off my plate for a while. I just wanted to help where I was. And y'all need to understand this. Some of your most great preachers and great people get sabotaged in the pulpit while you're worshiping. I got asked, I was at a different church, and I was sitting, and a guy goes, hey, your pastor goes, Rich, you want to bring the message on Sunday? I said, yes, sir, I'll do that. So I invited my mom. You know, my mom was there, and I invited some of my friends who came in. And I was sitting on, you know, he had the pulpit. I was sitting there, and I was reading my Bible. I was getting ready to get up, and preach. And when it was time to preach, the minister put his foot over mine and got up and just preached the message. See, you don't understand. See, I knew how to be obedient. I mean, I didn't have nothing. I didn't have much to give God, but I could give you my obedience. So I sat there. Mom said something. She goes, did you get it wrong? I said, no. I said, he just did what he did. A couple of months went by, and he asked me again. I preach. I'm like, I'm really preaching. He says, oh, yeah, we'll get you. Did the same thing. Sometimes you do it to put it in check. It's bad, so we finally got up there and went someplace else. I said, God, I said, you got to give me a mentor. God, I need a mentor. I don't know who this is for. I said, God, I need a mentor. Get me a mentor. So I went. God, I need this other pastor. Who's the one I went to this big meeting with? Said, you know, which he, because I was doing evangelistic work, which he talked us into. You know, you need a covering. You come under this. I said, well, I'll give you 5 years, you know. So I did that, maybe spoke maybe three times. And we would go there, and he was ill. He was sick, so he needed people to fill in. He had three or four ministers on the thing, but he would rather bring somebody else in than use any of us. And then when he did, he would wait to like, on purpose, he'd wait to like 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday to tell you so you wouldn't be at your best. You know. And I won't even go into any other problem. And so God never gave me a mentor. Never. Would you still go if he doesn't provide the tool that you think you need? So then and he says, well, you're going to pastor. I said, no. Nah. I said, you know, I don't even have anybody to ordain me, whatever. And I was, I'll tell you, I had to pay to preach. I was working at a job 6 to 7 days a week, 12 hours a day when I started the ministry and doing the ministry. And having people mad because you couldn't go up and visit them after you did a long day. I said, I would, but I'd fall asleep on the road. So we're there, and I said, he never would give me one, so then it was a time, and I stayed a year longer because he was ill, and I didn't want to leave the people in a lurch. So finally we did this, and we stepped out, and I said, before I stepped out, I was working. I said, well, I can't do that. I need to get ordained. I haven't done all that, and these other guys aren't helping me. They give you questionnaires. Do you want to be, oh, yeah, yeah, and, you know, I got sabotaged all my way. So we left and we started this. Well, I'll go back. I was working with a guy. His father was a Pentecostal pastor. And he just overheard me. He goes, my dad ordained you. So I was telling him, I was sitting there on my job giving God a list why I couldn't do what I needed to do. He was overhearing me. And, you know, I was talking with God. You know, you're talking with God like you're crazy. Jesus, I know, but, you know, that guy goes, I heard you. He goes, my dad, he'll do it. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, come see him. Came, saw him, talked to him, saw a vision. He goes, yeah. I'm like, ooh. But then I said, okay, I finally got somebody who would mentor me. I said, hey, I called him up time. He didn't have time for me. He goes, no, I really got time to do that. He would never meet with me. Wouldn't talk to me. I was like, so then you start feeling self-conscious. Then you start smelling your armpits and everything. What's going on? So I went out, and my wife was encouraging me. My mom was encouraging me. And I went out, and I just did this, and I said, you know what? I'm going to do the opposite of what I think. So any ministry, anybody that I have under me, I will give them 100% of everything I got and more. And I said, I want you to be better than me. I want you to preach better than me. I want you to teach better than me. And he says, I set my calendar up, and I said, you will get to preach. You will get to teach. You will be able to ask me questions. What I don't know, I'll find out. And I expect you to take everything I had, add it to yours, and it'd be better than me. I don't care if someone gets in my pulpit and preaches better than me. People go, man, he was great. Awesome. Don't bother me a bit. You don't have to stroke my ego. I'm the most least competitive person you'll ever meet. But I can be obedient. I could be blessed. I could be obedient. I could be dead broke. If I only have $10, I would love to give him that dollar. Tithing is one of the base levels of something I can be. I may have messed everything up all day, but I can be obedient with this one thing. I don't know who this is for, but I'm trying to tell you. Maybe you've got the short end of the stick by the church. And see, I had enough not to blame the church, not to blame God. It was those individuals. Because I'm trying to tell you, even though you go to a doctor and they got that nice degree on the wall, how many people know there's a bunch of quacks out there? Ministry ain't no different. Not everybody's called, not everybody's sent. But when you're present and you're in the house and you have a good man of God, good woman of God doing it, latch on and praise God for that. Because I've been in circles when I said there ain't nothing but jokers at the table. And if you want to fan the flames, you've got to bypass those jokers and listen to God. You've got to go after the fish. Don't wait. You've got to go and spread that word. You've got to do what you've got to do, because God will make room for you at his table. God will make room for you at his table. And I'm trying to tell you, go all out for these souls. Go all out to make it what it can be. And what you are struggling with today can leave you like that. God can do it. So right now, I want you to get on your mind what you're struggling with right now. Maybe they told you no. Maybe they told you you're not good enough, you're not smart enough. Listen, I didn't even start speaking right to the fourth grade. I had a real bad stuttering problem. Then when I got saved, I read that Moses was a man of stuttering, and I thought, ooh, there's hope for me. In college, I got a C in public speaking. He told me I need to be doing something else. When I was in school, they wouldn't teach me. They took me, my sister, and a couple friends, and we laid on our bellies in the hallway, and they would give us papers to do. And then I would get up, and I would look through the door of my class, and I would see what they were writing on the chalkboard, and I would tell it to the other kids in the hallway. Because, you see, I had a speech impediment, so they take me out of class to give me speech therapy. Then when I went back to class, I was behind, so they took me out of the class to give me a tutor. So when I came back, I was double behind. And then when I came back in there, they had nothing to do with someone who's dyslexic, except put us in a hallway and let us lay down there. So I tell the kids, they said, Richie, what are they doing? I said, they're doing some kind of math, but it has letters in it. I don't know. They go, well, so they go, explain it to me. So I told them what's on the board, and I'm going to write it down. There was four people in the hallway. One was me, one was my sister, one was a young man named Mike, and one was another friend named Terrell. Parents took us to church. There's only one difference. I became a pastor. My sister's the head of the usher board. And my friend Terrell did something out of Michigan called the Children of the Promise. And the other one is in jail, first-degree murder for shooting a girl in the face and killing her. And you know what the only difference in the hallway was? Jesus. Jesus. Through those hard times and pressing times and being made fun of, that's the only thing he didn't have that we had. He makes a difference in the equation. Because I had a studying problem, my mom taught me. I had home training. She said, listen to your teachers. Be good. Don't get in trouble. Had one teacher coming, and I was doing my letters, and she had to do my phonics with me because of how I pronounce words. And I was sitting there and I was going, you know, and she moved the cards out of the way and she goes, I don't know why they're making me do this, because you're never going to get it and you ain't going to be anything. And she took the cards and she just kept. I didn't say anything because I didn't want to hurt my mom. I knew, you know, I don't want to say, Mom, I failed. Idiot. It has been approved. I'm an idiot. She told me. You told me to listen to my teachers. And my mom was all worried, and when I got older, I got to see all the notes that they sent home about it. She must have thought I wouldn't have been able to make it. But I got many stories like that, but I'm trying to tell you, it doesn't matter what men thinks if God has called you. If God has done something in you. And I think right now some of you may feel broke. You may feel discouraged. You may, you know, some people, my dad's like, you know, and this cup is where I keep all my, is where I keep my mad money. I told my dad all my money make me mad. You think I ain't got enough in there. Or maybe you open your wallet and you're like, you know, there's nothing in there. Are you going by what you see in your wallet, but are you going by with his word? It says he's provider, not your wallet. Amen. And he said, oh, I'm going downhill because my hip's moving. Are you going to listen to your hip or are you listening to Jesus? Are you going to go forth and get the power and the promises that God has for you? Are you going to do this on purpose? I want everybody just to reach out to God with your spirit today, right now. It's part of him. It's going to be easy because he put it in you and he wants to reach out. Oh, man, there's an anointing of serious breaking in the house. Some people are saying, Pastor, I'm a little afraid. Holy Spirit says, just do it afraid. The difference between those that are winners and heroes and those that are losers is that they just do it afraid. They got the same issues you got. Holy Spirit, right now I ask you, go on each side. Go from wall to wall. Thank you, Jesus. I feel your anointing in the house. I feel your anointing in the house. I ask you right now just to release right now your favor right now. Some of you, you need to get hungry. You need to get thirsty for what God has for you. There's something that you don't even pray about anymore because you figured God wasn't going to do it, so you didn't take it off the table. God says you need to put everything back on the table. Someone right now is praying and longing for your children you weep for your children. They're either teenagers or young adults or something. You're just weeping for your children. God is not taking a deaf ear to your prayers. God is going to surround them with people of faith. What you can't speak to them, they will speak to them. Amen. Right now, somebody is worried about the self-image of not being good enough. You keep trying to clean yourself up, and that's the problem. God's going to clean you up. God's going to take those things and do around. See, the thing about it, if you would just open up your hands and say, God, you got to do something with this mess. Instead of you trying to look presentable in Christ, God will make you presentable in him. That's not your job. That's not your job. God, I ask for the blood of Jesus Christ just to worship you right now in the name of Jesus. And I don't know if there's anybody here who's that accepted the Lord as Savior. But I want to, during this time of this altar call, I want to open that up for anybody who comes up and says, you know, Pastor, I heard what you said. I said, I need this power and authority in my life in Jesus Christ. And right now, if there's anybody at the sound of my voice right now who says, you know what, Pastor, I've kind of backed up on God. I've backed up on Him. I haven't been serving Him. And I'm backslidden. You come and we're going to pray that prayer of reconciliation. And then there's those who need a fresh encounter with God. Fresh encounter. We're gonna have some prayer. I just feel like the Holy Spirit really wants to move. I believe there's words of knowledge in the air right now. Words of knowledge and words of wisdom. I can feel it. To me, the air feels crisp, like a winter day crisp. And I believe there's a word going forth for those who are bold enough to step out and to seek God. Some of you right now, I'm feeling as a woman right here, and you haven't even said this, maybe today or this week, that I am so tired of church as usual. Something that you just said recently. I'm so tired of church as usual. I'm so tired of mundane. And says, I just need God just to mess me up. The last part is my paraphrasing. If that's you, God wants to do that in you, not necessarily around you. He wants to do that in you. And I don't know who that is, but if that's someone I'm talking about, you need to come up and let them lay hands on you because God's about to just waterfall in you. Amen. And right now, Someone, I'm feeling someone that God is going to correct your thinking. Now listen, that doesn't mean you haven't been part. That means that you are looking at things wrong. Amen. That you may have been looking at something backwards, that God is speaking to you this way, and you've took it a different way. Not mean that, but you're taking it like he's saying this, but he means something else. God's going to change that right now. So whoever that is that you think, like, you know, I'm just not getting what God is trying to say to me. And I just can't get past what was done to me. And what it is, you're seeing everything through a filter of your worst day. When the only filter you're supposed to look through is through the blood. Amen. So you, anything anybody ever says to you or does or something like that, you might not say anything to them, but you're seeing it through this filter of hurt. But when God has redeemed you, the words, the same word, is going to breathe life into you, but a different way. Jesus, I don't know who that's for. But if you're bold enough to get released today, to come out, that's for you. And I 100% believe that person is in this house. I cannot compel you to come, but the Holy Spirit can. And I'm asking you that you would yield and you would come and be set free right now in the name of Jesus. And listen, and some of you, God just wants to put out a refreshing on you. A refreshing. He wants to, some of you have been doing your work. You've been pouring out. And this is your day for you to get filled back up right now in the name of Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to quit talking. If that's you, I'm going to wait on the manifestation of what God is doing right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. You've got to let go and let God have His way. Have His way. Have His way. What I ask you.